Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. We are going live on so many channels at once, I don't know where we are. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitch, we're here recording in the studio. It's all going down at once. We are all over the matrix, I guess. Welcome in. With me today is my team. I have Janelle Wheeler.
Hello, everyone.
Matthew Aguilar.
What up, peeps?
And returning once again, one of our all-around jackknife experts, Miss Nicole Drum, is back with us.
Hey, folks.
And guys, we're just coming to you now at a not-so-special time at Tuesday just to talk about some not-so-special things like the MCU being back with WandaVision.
Is that why you're drinking champagne?
Yes, the only
Cheers.
Last time we talked to you guys, we were waiting for WandaVision to drop. Jim Viscardi came through and kind of gave you a nice first impressions of what you could expect from the series, which I hope helped prepare some people for maybe some of the unexpected kind of product we were getting with WandaVision, which we are definitely going to be talking about. But now we're going to talk about it in full spoiler discussion, and I think it's going to be spicy. I think we got some divisive opinions for you today. So we're going to be getting into full WandaVision talk and hopefully make it spicy for you. But before all that, we got to talk about one big rumor that came our way. We don't really do many rumors anymore, but this one was too good to pass up. So Kevin Smith was doing his big podcast show, and he just kind of started grinning like a kid by dropping a rumor that we could be getting Batman the Animated Series back through HBO Max. The series has recently moved over there. It used to be on DC Universe, but now the kind of, Batman Animated Series is now on HBO Max. And Kevin Smith is kind of teasing that we could not, without teasing, that this could be something that they pick back up and keep doing, which all I have to say is, why the hell not bring back Batman the Animated Series? Bruce Timm, I mean, they've basically been forcing Bruce Timm to do Batman animated things like with his entire life, since those are the kind of features that sell. So might as well let him come back to the flagship series. Bunch of people are probably rediscovering it on HBO Max as we speak. I'm all behind this. And as Kevin Smith pointed out, it's great because this is an animated series. So, you know, there is a kind of loose continuity to Batman animated series, and we can just pick back up and just keep going with that same continuity. They've tried to continue it in like comics and stuff, but nothing beats the kind of original animated form. So I'm all for it. What do you guys think? Let's just go around the room. Matt.
I mean, I agree with you, really. I feel like there's no reason not to, especially with how good DC animation has really continued to be over the years. I mean, some of those movies were better than the live action stuff we were getting, the straight to animation stuff. So I think it's smart. I will say, you know, because the current comic, the Next Adventure, or I think it's called or whatever, which is essentially that, is continuing those adventures and like introducing new characters. I haven't loved, and I feel like it, and it is actually features part of the team that did those, you know? So I don't know, like there is a thing of you need to get the original squad back together, but also some things would probably need modernizing. I don't know if you could just necessarily pick up right where you left off. You got to make a couple changes because like some of that stuff doesn't like that hasn't hit me in the nostalgia spot as thoroughly as I thought it would. So yeah, anyway, but I think you should do it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I definitely want to see it as I, you know, expand my knowledge into DC with like reading of all these comics and everything. I'm going to be able to experience this in a different way. I'm going to have much more excitement for this than I did as a kid, because it was more of like me watching my cousin watch it. It wasn't like my go-to show to watch. So now I think it's going to be a really cool way to look at it. And my question is it too soon to like speculate like the tone and the people behind it and the storyline and what they're going to cover? Like, can we start getting excited about this? Can we start researching this? Or is this like, am I overshooting this? Am I getting too excited too quickly? More content, by the way.
I just slipped that in. I don't know. I would say typically like Smith is the fact that he was so giddy and he was so like, I've heard this rumor for about a month before it hit. And like, this is, that tends to lend a little bit more credence to it, that it's actually a legit thing. So, I mean, I don't know. I'd get excited. Why not?
Okay, and I still have the original creators on hand. It's not like they've gone anywhere. Like, you can still pull back in a lot of the whole same crew to do this. And I'm sure, even Kevin Conroy would do it. And even though he always retires from everything, I'm sure Mark Hamill would even step back in and do some more jerking.
Oh, my God. Please.
I was going to say, Nicole, what do you think?
Well, I think everybody knows that I am always team more Batman. So I am, of course, I'm going to be for this. But I'm one of those people that didn't come into the animated series until much later. I jumped onto it as an adult because, you know, this is how it is. And so it's still new to me. It's still fresh for me. So I am like, yes, please, more now. But it's Batman. I am always for more Batman. Always.
Also, animated series is my favorite Batmobile. Period.
Honestly, mine too.
It's the most impractical. That my dream car.
The animated Batmobile is my dream car. And, you know, I am here for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of my favorites that are attached to Batman animated series just because I was a 90s kid and, you know, I rushed home from school and I was in front of that TV every day in my little, like, whatever 12-inch box I had on the end of my desk to, like, stare at Batman. I mean, the villain storylines and origins, just some of the concept episodes they did, like, Almost Got Him is still one of my favorite Batman stories, of all time.
Scarface, Clock King. There's so many great.
The two-part villain origins for, like, Two-Face, for, like, Clayface, connecting that to Poison Ivy with Two-Face. Like, yeah, all great stuff. So I am so for it. And I would love to see, like, a kind of modern take on it because I liked how the timeless kind of mix of modern and retro they do. And I would love to see that now moved to and more updated Batman characters that we didn't have before and all that. And so, yeah, I'm all for it. All right. I don't think anybody's like really against this. I don't think we have to debate this too hard, right? Like,
we have a question in the chat. Would you want them to expand on the villains or bring back the OGs?
I want them to do both. I want them to. I mean, I need the original cast of villains and a lot of the same voices if we can get them. But I also want them to, like I said, there's been more Batman villains. Like, there's been more Batman stories that are great since.
Can you imagine an animated series Court of Owls? Like, that would be.
Oh, my God.
Like, do a longer version of Hutch. You know, there's so many things just to run down the list for.
Ghostmaker.
Like,
best name ever. Just kidding.
There's a lot you could do. I mean, just the Bat family alone has grown. They've never done a Red Hood in animated series. Like, they've never done any of that stuff. So it's all on the table. So yeah, man, I want to see them apply their vision to the expanded lore of Batman that we've had since the 90s. That's me.
Agreed.
Oh, 100% agreed. Give me more.
I like it.
I can't remember. Did Spectre ever pop up in the animated series?
I don't think so. No, he popped up in later animated things, but not in Batman.
There have been some amazing Batman Spectre stories. That is one I would love to see that aesthetic and style on. That would be so killer. That'd be great. Anyway, that's me.
Please don't kill me if I'm wrong, commenters. I don't remember everything.
I genuinely don't remember.
No. All right. Yeah, I 100% remember. All right. So like I said, I don't foresee many people screaming about this happening. I mean, I think we're all just screaming that we hope it happens. So Batman animated series, hope that's coming to HBO Max. It'd be great to help to fill out that DC animation section of the service with something kind of continuous and something for the kids, something for adults like Harley Quinn. I'm all for it. All right. Moving right along. Let's get into our WandaVision talk. So WandaVision is now out. Rich, if you're back there, I don't know, because we're going to be doing spoilers for this. I guess we need our spoilers graphic if we have it.
Spoilers. But if you haven't watched it by now,
I mean, yeah, I don't know why you're clicking on a podcast called WandaVision Spoilers Discussion, but I just try to cover the basis.
Or even just a comic book podcast of any kind.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched this yet.
Yeah. So we're going to get into WandaVision spoilers. We're not going to recap most of the plot and things like that and Easter eggs. If you have not listened to our sister podcast, Phase Zero, with Brandon Davis, he's our Marvel podcast. He did an excellent job of kind of going through a lot of the deeper, significant Easter eggs and things these first two episodes of WandaVision. But we're going to get here and kind of talk about a larger discussion, which is what's happened since this show has been released and kind of what the fan reaction has been and how we kind of see it as the start of Phase 4 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and our first Marvel Cinematic Universe content in over a year. So just to kind of set the context here before I throw it to you guys. WandaVision has been kind of curious. If you look around at any of the aggregate sites, it's been kind of critically acclaimed, but the fan score isn't as high. And just general chatter seems to be there's a lot more divided opinion for this about how this show has gone. I can understand why people are hesitant, but I also think there's been the caveats that Marvel pretty much in no uncertain terms warned us that this was going to be different. So I don't know what expectations were. So I'm kind of in the middle. But I know that before the show we were talking, and Matt, you seem to be coming here with possible bandolier of grenades in your pocket.
You're right to me, huh?
Yeah, we got out the guy who puts a lot of DC books in and might hate WandaVision.
As my Twitter mentions have said, because I've gotten into this discussion, I feel like, several times. So I'm actually glad that you set the context, because I feel like it's important, because the fact that this is the first Marvel project we have received since 2019, I feel like actually kind of weighs into some of the response to the show. My biggest issues with it are that and I've seen a couple. I get a little annoyed because, like, I see the knee-jerk reaction of, like, well, how can you not like this? And, like, if you don't like this, you're not a fan of, like, long-term storytelling. You're not a fan. It's like, I read comics. Yes, I'm a fan of long-term storytelling. They're the most decompressed things on the planet sometimes. Too much so. But, like, I still give them a try. So it's not that. I like the fact that it's different. I love that. I love the shows this models itself after. I love I Love Lucy and Dick Van Dyke. Like, those are things I love. But so I give it kudos for that and doing something different. That said, different does not mean good. And different does not mean it's something that I still want. And I'm still just, like, endlessly hooked on. And I understand. I've read the comics, so I know certain things of, like, ideas, like what's coming and things like that. So it's not even from an ignorance point of view. It's just I feel like it doesn't do enough to actually, it relies on the fact that you know what's coming. It kind of relies on the fans to do a lot of the, like, oh my God, that Easter egg is this or this and that. And the story itself is just kind of meh. It's kind of boring. It doesn't, the mysteries are so slow. Like, the teases are great when they happen. But, like, the first two episodes, I swear, there's like three really those moments of tension that draw you into the overall mystery. And one of them is just the thing at the very end. You know, like the episode, and it's so quick and it moves, and I get slow burns, but you got to give me some meat there, because I just don't feel like the mystery itself is that compelling. I know it's a dream. I know, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's not reality. Something's wrong. It's not subtle. So I know that. I don't need that explained over the course of an hour. I get it. And then also, it's just not as, I get the aesthetic it's going for in those old traditional sitcoms. And it does such a good job of capturing all the aesthetic pieces of it. The black and white, the like laugh tracks and all those, the funny over the top.
Even just like costuming and set design.
Yeah,
like,
it's perfect. Wonderful, but it's not funny. So when they do that and they're like, oh, ha, 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 you're supposed to kind of be laughing with them. And right now it's just kind of like,
it's,
oh,
I see, like, what
they did there.
Ha, but it's not ha, funny. But it's like, oh,
but I'd rather go watch an episode of I Love Lucy. And I actually rather go watch that. And the mystery, neither part is working for me. The mystery is not compelling enough, and it's not funny. So otherwise, I'm just left with, a very different MCU thing that's just, I'd rather watch something else. I mean, I'm sorry.
I don't think it's meant to be funny.
But then give me something else in place of that.
Well, let's get Nicole in here.
I think that and I'm a huge fan of vintage sitcoms, but I'm coming at this from kind of almost a feminist lens, but not exactly. When you really think about it, vintage sitcoms are very subversive. They're funny on the surface, but if you scratch that surface, even it contemporarily speaking, underneath you've got a much darker story in most cases. Even I Love Lucy, and believe me, that's kind of one of those things when I watch it to distract myself versus watching it to watch it is a very different thing. I don't think WandaVision is intending to match an aesthetic, nor do I think that they're trying to be funny. I think that they are trying to be as subversive in the way that those old sitcoms are. I think this is a much more intellectual story than what we're used to from the MCU. And I think that's probably why there's a little bit of division there, because people turn in and expect to be entertained. This is more than just entertainment. They are building something bigger. And for me, that's what I think makes it so engaging and so interesting, is that we all expect this to be following a very specific path and a very specific formula. And the MCU is going, hold up, we're playing something different here. I don't think it's meant to be funny at all.
But I'm not expecting that.
Not at all once on this. I've been spending the whole time going, what are they doing? Like, I am so engaged in trying to figure out what it all means that I feel like I'm watching more of a, almost like a thriller just slowly unfolding rather than a comedy or even your traditional MCU thing.
Let's put a pin in it.
I don't understand what's intellectual about
Matt
it.
Matt is passionate.
Hey, we're going to pay some bills. Hey, this is all great, but we got to pay the bills for this discussion. But you guys have good two sides that we're going to set up. And when we come back after a brief break, we're going to dig a little deeper into this two kind of poles of opinion about WandaVision, because this is good stuff. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
All right. Now, for the people who are just watching and not listening, we're still here, so let's get back to it. All right. So on the one side, we have Matt saying this thing needs to pick up in substance. He gets what they're doing, but he doesn't enjoy it. Nicole says that it's kind of a pull in kind of the subversiveness and trying to piece together that puzzle. I'm kind of in the middle of the two of you. I think there are scenes in the episodes that really do capture my attention for exactly what Nicole describes, because I know that underlying tension is not always the most pronounced moments. There are subtle little things that they throw in there that are kind of funny and catch my attention as somebody who also watches a lot of old sitcoms. But I can see why a lot of people still think it's kind of a slow start from an MCU standpoint, especially because I feel like I'm watching more of an indie movie than I am like a Marvel show. And it kind of has the same cues of an indie movie in a lot of ways. People in the comments, I want to know how many of you guys feel kind of with Nicole and how many kind of you guys feel with Matt. But please, guys.
I have a take. I actually did a long discussion about this, probably about 2 hours worth on my stream. And I got a lot of varying opinions right off the bat. I was obsessed with it. I couldn't find any criticism. I was just hooked, ready to see what episode 3 is going to do. And then I started listening to my friends And I do understand, because if you are in this as a comic book reader, if you are in this because you love what they did with MCU in the films, it's not that at all. I would say, like, my final, if I had to like put a bow on it, I think that they did what they wanted to do in episode one, and episode two was unnecessary. It felt like someone had to point it out to me that episode two was supposed to be in the 60s. I thought they were both in the 50s. I thought they were both just that black and white 50s, like I Love Lucy classic vibe. And I was actually like, you know, I was really expecting that episode two was going to get me all the way back and like up into the 70s. I thought that it was going to move a little faster. So I think personally, I'm picking up what they're putting down. I love this, but I do think that episode two was wasted because we should have already been into the next, you know, we should have already had color. We should have already been in the 70s. We should have like just, we got it. We already know what you're doing. Exactly what Matt said, that this is a retro throwback TV show vibe. And I got bored in episode two, honestly. There were moments that I was like, oh, heck yes. And I understand that they're still introducing characters for us to understand the world. But that is my only criticism, is that I wish episode two moved faster into something different. Didn't have to be action-packed, but just something different. It was just two of the same thing.
I think in terms of a broadcast history perspective, and this is where my academic nerd comes in, the 60s were a very weird time in terms of television production. And so a lot of those sitcoms, you either had things that looked very 50s, because that's where the technology was, or you had things that looked very 70s, which is kind of where things were going. And so I think it was very, they had a weird thing to straddle in that second episode, because they don't want to jump a decade necessarily. But if you really go back and look at sitcoms from that time period, they're either all one way for their early seasons, and all of a sudden it's like, here is our 70s and our avocado greens.
Right.
They could have added more color. I think they could have, we get color at the end. I think if they had broached that maybe earlier, it would have helped people kind of understand that we're not still in the 50s. We're in that transitional.
Change the hairstyle. Like, they gave her pants. They gave her pants. That's it. Like, how am I supposed to know?
Then, like, if you look at the time, it's another one of those.
From a skirt to pants.
Somebody started wearing pants and somebody started growing their hair out. It was, the 60s were weird, man. From a standpoint. So I understand why that episode probably feels like, wait, we didn't leave the 50s. But I get that mostly because I watch way too much old TV.
I agree with Janelle on I don't know how the split works. Like, I don't know whether you maybe should have like incorporated more of episode two and episode one or vice versa. Like, I don't know how the best cut of that would be. Cause
I think they did
not what I do.
Way possibly. I think you could only do it by releasing the first two together.
Yeah. I think that's why they probably released the first two together, is because they are kind of paired like that. There's not really a good division. It'll be interesting to see how different three is from them.
Well, I could
agree though that part of that is not needed.
I have seen three. And I was going to tease some of that without spoiling, because I do know in advance what three is, and three makes the changes a lot more pronounced in a lot of ways. We clearly move time periods, and it's in three, and I almost wish they had done the first three as a block. I guess they wanted to stretch for weeks, but by the end of three, things feel like they're moving now. Like, yeah, things get weird. I mean, at the end of two, you see her pregnant, so that just kind of moves into three.
That was very fast. Three,
and things get like increasingly weird.
Magic of television.
And more and more you begin to kind of understand. I know we know things aren't right, but you get more of the dread aspect and the kind of tension aspect. And it makes me think, after seeing three, I'm kind of interested in WandaVision as a whole, because I think this series is more layered and subtle, like Nicole is saying, in some ways. And I honestly do think I'm fascinated to see what happens when we get to Spider-Man 3, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, Loki, all this other stuff. And then we get the chance to come back and see WandaVision all over again, and see if how people interpret even these kind of, you know, quote unquote boring early parts. I'm kind of
and I do like that they build the relationship. Like in those two episodes, we are seeing how much they care about each other. Like, we're seeing this relationship that we really didn't see a lot of. We had to just go off of assumptions that they're madly in love with each other by the time we catch up with them. And I do love that aspect. And for me, like, I don't want anyone to get me wrong. I was all in on this. I still am. And I absolutely loved it. But it was other people kind of throwing things at me that made me question certain things. I'm very excited about where this is going.
Two things. One, that is a great comment that Kofi is flexing. I just wanted to shout that.
I was going to speak back to that. I just want to say, it's not every day that I get to pull a Brandon Davis flex and say, like, I have insider knowledge.
That's a great comment.
I'm in the house a lot these days, so I don't get to flex anymore. So
That's a great comment. Two, just to put a pin on, you know, because I very much feel like I'm the negative voice here. What I will say is I feel like I hope, and I said this on Twitter, I hope by the end of this show that early episodes are recontextualized in a significant way, because otherwise I feel like the show is getting credit for a lot of nuance that it does not have for me. So that's where I kind of...
I'm going to be honest. I am shocked that you are the negative person. I thought this was everything you wanted.
I thought so too.
Disney, Avengers, old sitcom.
There was even previous episodes where I said, like, hey, Disney Plus show I'm looking forward to is WandaVision. Like, I even was on that train. It's just not doing
it. Yeah, is it a rough start to 2021, buddy? Is it a rough start?
I did not expect to disagree with Matt on this one. I mean, there are things we don't always agree on, but I thought this was going to be the, oh, hey, high fives. This is great. Dang.
All right, it's all right, man. We keep it surprising around here. You know, like a good marriage. You don't know everything.
I really feel like episode 3 is going to be awesome, though.
Yeah,
I'm
so psyched to see, like, what the discussion is after episode 3.
Really excited.
Yeah, so... All right. I'm not promising you like Mephisto is jumping out and crazy like that. I'm just saying it gets a little bit more, you know.
I don't know. You have built up some hype.
I have built up some serious hype.
Yes, you have.
I do like the hype of the fires. All right. Okay. I think we're going to be checking back in with WandaVision, obviously. Also, make sure you check out Phase Zero this Friday when the news episode drops, because that'll be your first place. Brandon Davis will break it down for you and help you guys break into that discussion. So make sure you check that out. It'll be on Twitch as well, Facebook, everywhere we kind of broadcast our podcast. All right. So after WandaVision, let's talk comics. Matt, what are we getting into this week, buddy?
Yeah, so we got a good mix here. A split. We did the split of Marvel.
A schmear of
and
everything.
DC. Of course, one of the biggest books we've been talking about lately, and it seems to get everybody jazzed every week, is King of Black. So King of Black number 3 hit, featuring a pretty... And by the way, before I go into any further, are we going to talk full spoilers on these or no?
COVID. Yeah. Let's get into full spoilers.
So spoiler warning here, because we are about to talk into some big spoilers. So if you haven't read it yet, just come back, listen to this part later. But King of Black had some pretty big battles and a pretty really interesting story, some gorgeous art. So we'll definitely get into that. We're also going to touch on Future State. There was a lot to get to on Future State. I will cover some of the smaller stuff later on in the show. But for our kind of big spotlight here, we are going to talk about Future State Catwoman and, of course, the second issue of Batman Catwoman from Tom King. So, you know, I guess let's start with King of Black. We'll start with some Marvel. We're on a Marvel kick right now. You know, what did everybody think of this issue? Because this was more of a just like big bombastic action set
piece of Dylan.
Yeah.
Great.
Dylan.
This whole week of reading was... I loved every single one of these. I'm so hyped about the comics we read this week. But yeah, the artwork at the end where they showed the like dark versions of all of our heroes was fantastic. It was absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
But yeah, Thor jumping in. I feel so nervous to spoil things. I don't know why. I'm just like wondering. I'm like so scared about the name. But Thor finally getting in the mix and just dominating for a second was fantastic. It's just Dylan is coming forward. It left you wanting more. It was just extremely well done. And I am so hyped about this comic. Yeah. Oh, wait. I'll let you guys talk a little bit as I marinate.
No, it makes me happy, though. It makes me happy. That one scene, there's a scene where Thor clocks Null so hard that, like, his jaw goes away.
It breaks off. Oh, my gosh.
That part is awesome. That part is so good.
So sick.
And it's so
it's
cool.
Great that he just instantly replaces it with a symbiote.
Right? Yeah. It takes a little bit of the wind out of the sails, but like it was very much a like Rocket Raccoon Winter Soldier moment when like Dylan and Thor are just in the middle of all these things and like circling around. It's cool when Dylan has the shield. Like there's some really cool moments.
Oh yeah,
here.
Dylan grabs the shield. Oh yeah, yeah, that's great.
Kofi, what do you think?
I liked it. I mean, as I've been saying, we've been kind of really hard on Marvel the past year about these kind of epic crossovers they've been promising that turn out to be even you know, even looking back, Ten of Swords, it was the same. I mean, it wasn't quite as epic. It was more funny and kind of comedic and silly. But this one feels like grand scale. Like I could see this being a Marvel Cinematic Universe event one day. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this has that kind of scope and scale to it, and it's been delivering, and even the tie-ins have been really good. So I know we didn't put them on the docket, but like I read like the Thunderbolts tie-in and stuff like that, Spider-Gwen versus Carnage. Like, you know, I've been kind of enjoying those. But this one is, again, this is a big and it seems well-planned. And right now, Eddie Brock is seemingly dead. And this was the first time I could actually see Marvel moving Dylan Brock ahead as a successor to Venom in a serious way, this event kind of and what he's going through right now. And it would be different and he would have a cool set of powers, but you know, Eddie's coming back, but I could actually believe Dylan carrying like a Venom, you know, book.
I agree. I feel like that legacy is actually seems to be planted here, and they've done a lot of work in the core Venom book on Dylan and Eddie's relationships. I feel like that's paying off here because it's believable. You can actually see a future. Eddie is going to come back at some point, but you definitely can see a future without him for a bit, you know, Wolverine-esque couple years or whatever. Nicole, what'd you think?
I agree with that actually. And I haven't really been deep into much of the Marvel like event things for a while because they just haven't been my jam. This has gotten me back into it. And in fact, this issue made me go back to Venom to read more about, you know, that relationship with Dylan, because I was just like, I can see this, but I need to have bigger context. I loved this issue. The art for me, though, was the thing that just kept me just staring at the page and not necessarily like really reading the words. I was just still like, man, this is some good art. Like, I want to take my copy apart and frame pieces of it. It's so good. And that for me just jumps out because this is such a big event. It requires some big, beautiful art. And I just think that everything in this and the pacing, even the, you know, the pieces of the extension, the add-on stories that are in the different books, I just think it's all coming together so nicely. I had no hope or expectation for King in Black. Like I was just like, this is not going to be my jam. But this issue in particular, everything just really seemed to come together for me. It was definitely just incredible. It's one of the stories that, like, even you can close your eyes and see it in your head, even while you're looking at it. And I just thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So Marvel, you won me back. It took a while, but I'm back.
This team has done a really good job with, like, because I will say Venom Beyond, even for as, like, ridiculous a premise of, like, jumping into the future and having all these crazy versions of characters and, like, Dylan ends up being, you know, in that future, like the evil. And so there's a lot of big kind of crazy concepts, but it does a really good job of like grounding it, but a thing between a father and a son, and then discovering like your mother's alive in this universe and all that emotional stuff. It's crazy. They really wrapped a lot of interesting development for characters in these big, insane concepts. And I think they're still doing that here, which is what allows like that big action to be grounded. It feels like you're actually moving towards something. Moving over then to the very sleek future state Catwoman, which was like a straight up train heist. And I wanted to do after this was watch this on the big screen. Like I wanted this story on a big screen.
This would be awesome as a Catwoman, like as a DC anime. Like this would be a great
Some form of like animation or whatever, because this just like there was so much style in this. The artwork was just a really cool mix and perfect fit for this character. So I mean, what did you guys think? Janelle, I know you were big on it.
Oh my gosh. Well, I still feel bad for spoiling anything, but just the cliffhanger at the end, that Bruce is, you know, Bruce, you hear me? Like that ending part just made me gasp. I was just losing it. I loved how they bring in kind of like the kids, like they let the kids be heroes here. And they're kind of the future of Gotham and they're helping Catwoman. It's all this beautiful plan that you just don't know even was kind of formed to begin with. I loved the artwork because I loved the color scheme. I thought it was just stunning. And it just felt like there were a lot of twists and turns, like surprises that made me really excited. It just kept me turning the pages over and over. I was just like really excited trying to read as fast as I could. Digitally turning the pages.
There was also so many very subtly, some well done things. And it's interesting because we're going to talk about Batman and Catwoman too, which these two were very similar, Future State Catwoman and Batwoman Catwoman 2 in spirit. But what I love about this one, there's so many subtle things they do that are just such interesting concepts that we haven't really seen before. First, it was good to see Catwoman like up as a Gotham kind of leader, as a hero and leader. That was instead of just even as an anti-hero, she's just perfect for Gotham in general. And that was awesome. Seeing her use all those skills as a master thief, as a master combat, when she just doesn't even worry. She's like, don't worry about the guard. it was really cool to see by the end reveal to see Gotham uniting to save Batman.
Yeah.
For once. And it being all these different people, the kids inside the train working with Catwoman and this whole kind of crazy ragtag crew of Gotham's, you know, street people uniting to save Bruce Wayne and Batman was really cool. This is like the one Future State book. Like if this just became the Catwoman story I started reading, like I'd be okay with that. I'd be like, oh, I mean, all right. Yeah. Let's go with that. So I was really impressed.
Nicole?
I loved this Catwoman. This to me felt like the most Catwoman thing that I've read in a long time. It finally gives the character her full due because she is a lot of incredible things. And in a very real way, she really is like, yeah, Batman is Gotham's hero, but Catwoman is kind of, I don't want to say the soul of Gotham, but she's very much representative of Gotham in a very real way, depending on her complicated origin. But still, I just loved everything. I love the train heist. I love that she was just full on, I've got this, and incorporated all the people she needed to do it. The twist at the end with the Bruce thing gave me chills. I loved seeing her as her own hero, but still as part of this bigger story. What I also really loved, this to me feels like the first Future State book that really gives us a unvarnished look at how bad things are.
Yeah.
And that really jumped out at me and made me almost uncomfortable because I read a lot of the next Batman and Dark Detective, and those are kind of in my wheelhouse in a lot of ways. This for me really brought home just how dystopian Gotham has become.
Yeah, that's
super important.
That was my one criticism of the book, actually, is not in and of itself, but I'm just like I'm getting a little swirled up about like what the state of this magistrate thing is, because it seems much more severe in this book. And I was like, are we like later into this magistrate thing?
Trying to show, and I could be wrong here, but I feel like it almost is trying to show that even within any branch of anything, like we got the magistrate, but there's always going to be pockets that are going to be a little more severe than others in a fascist or a authoritarian state. And I think that's what we're seeing here is that there's some people who definitely have their own ideas.
Yeah, but like
how severe they need to be. And I think there's a little bit of unchecked power going on.
Dark Detective seems like Bruce Wayne is back out on the streets, though he's thought dead. And Catwoman, he's locked up. And well, in the next Batman, it seems like people think he's dead and gone.
That's the biggest thing against all of the that's my one critique of so far. Like reading Nightwing, reading like Batgirls, even within like the next Batman, right? The three stories that happen within the next Batman, sometimes that timeline and where things are can jump, because in Nightwing on the screen is Batgirl. And then I know from reading Batgirls that Barbara Gordon is like in a cell underneath the thing sending out messages, and she's been doing it for months. So then in Nightwing, he talks to the next Batman and like, oh, well, Bruce has been gone a minute. But then in Catwoman, it jumps. It's not an issue within those individual stories, because I think those stories actually, I liked all of those books this week and last week. But that's an editorial thing. That's a thing of like, hey, one book needs to go out before another. I mean, there was a Superman book this week that is like, hey, this takes place after Man of Metropolis. That doesn't come out till next week. So I have no context in that story.
What has helped me kind of deal with that mentally until everything is out and I can actually physically piece it all together, because I eventually will. That's how I am. I've just been taking it as a, these are all potential possibilities. And so the timelines don't have to line up right now.
You're doing a lot of work.
I do a lot of work. But if you do approach it that way,
that's
though,
their job.
Lose the cognitive dissonance a little bit.
But their job is to make it make sense.
Oh, it no, is a no weekly
format.
There.
You know what
no
I mean?
Question
like,
there.
Yeah.
But I also feel like some of these stories are going to be so short that I want to enjoy them as they're coming out before I go later and do my super.
Oh, yeah. I think they're good just to pull it all together. Like, I think they're good at just like when I'm just in each book, I don't care, but like, it's just the Batman, the Bruce Wayne continuity is just so noticeable. So that like,
yeah. Oh yeah. The Batman continuity is definitely a mess,
but and I accept each book for its thing. Like I don't need them to connect.
I just tell myself these are all possibilities and eventually they'll come together or they won't come together.
Maybe I just hope DC's cutting you a check, young lady, because you're doing some good PR work. All right.
Let's move on to Batman. Catwoman. Yeah. So yeah, Batman Catwoman number two. I think last time we talked about the first issue, it was, I think everyone liked it. I don't know. I can't remember if it was a little divisive or not, but
is that where they had the like moment of makeout? Like, did they make out awkwardly?
No, they had full on bed sex.
Yeah, they okay. Yeah, I think that was our only criticism.
Style. They were doing caddy style.
That was what we didn't really.
Which there's none of that here. That does not happen here.
No, dry. If I remember correctly, our criticism was that Tom King just kind of jumping between three timelines was a little bit convoluted on the first one.
Which does not change either.
It does not change.
But I was ready for it this time.
Yeah, I was going to say this time, at least you're braced for it. But for me, I feel like that is such a weak element of this book. Like, I don't get it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Tom King's approach to Batman generally. I do like the Batcat story. I like the issue itself. I feel like this is more Catwoman's story, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Like, you could leave Batman over there for this one, which I know coming from
me. I mean, part of the story, they literally leave him in the ground for.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
But for me, but I'm just like, I feel like the jumping between the timelines is kind of taking away from the story. To me, it's, for me, it's losing its impact.
I think that I mostly agree with you. I think he did one too many. I don't think you needed the past with the early days with Joker and Catwoman, because that one's too hard to distinguish from the present day. And those are the ones where you go back and you're like, and you're like, and the future one, I love the future stuff because it's like a Tarantino movie, and it's kind of like a really, and this one was a really good Tarantino movie.
Yeah, it was really good.
But yeah, that past of the early days of Batman, golden era stuff, it's just, they don't, I wish they had just exaggerated the costumes or something to make us know that like every time we move there, because literally those are the times I know exactly what you're talking about, where I go back and I'm like, wait, is this like present day that she's meeting Joker? Yeah. Is this the past with this medallion? Like, what is this? And I get it. They're building that something she did in the past screws up the things in the present and leaves her with this kind of legacy she's taken out on Joker in the future. I get it. And I've seen that indie movie again 1,000 times where we just kind of shift through people's life. I know you want to go full Terrence Malick. I get it. But like, yeah, it is kind of convoluted still.
It's a little overcomplicated.
It's a little too complicated. I mean,
do you think it will pay off though? Like, do you think there's a reason for
it? I think it will, but we might not understand it.
Okay. I think we'll get a payoff, but I don't know about the impact that you're expecting to. And I think part of that is because the idea that something that Catwoman has done in her past is going to create havoc with her and burn.
Speaking of Catwoman.
I know, right?
That's
my cat, Paws Al Ghul. That's how big of a nerd I am.
You planned it. I love it.
But thanks. But like I was saying, is like the story, the idea that something Catwoman has done in her past pertaining to Joker going to cause problems in the future for her relationship with Batman is a story that's been told 1,000 times. Mm. And I feel like we're going to get a payoff, but the way King is dividing and parsing it up, it's going to be like, oh, so that's it. Like, I feel like we're going to be let down a little bit, but the flip side of that is we're getting some sweet future action with, you know, older Catwoman.
I love that.
I am here for, like, yes, please, more that. I also just want more Phantasm. Like, I really want to know what this thing is that he did to Andrea, because realistically speaking, I have not seen anything thus far that would tell me that Catwoman that the she that what happened to Andrea is the real reason she's going after Joker. And I think that maybe that's going to unfold, and we're going to get that Catwoman has to confront something for herself and realize she's doing it for herself and not for somebody else. But so far, I'm not sold on that piece of the story. So I'll be interested to see if it pays off in a way that I feel satisfied, because that's generally speaking. And this is just an honest criticism of King. I guess, again, I like his work. I just don't feel like the payoff is ever really quite what it needs to be.
Okay. I think it's split. I'm about every, it's like every other thing, because like for every, like I was satisfied with Batman aside from the editorial decision to like split it out because it was supposed to be 100 issues and all that mess. That's something like I don't blame on the writer necessarily. That's something that I just blame on editorial. But you know, but then you get Heroes in Crisis, which is a train wreck. Because like I didn't like that book at all.
We try not to remember that ever happened.
Yeah, like that's terrible. So like it's every other one for me. I agree though. The Phantasm stuff is the stuff I'm actually aside from the future rivalry thing, that's fantastic. But like the Phantasm stuff of like why that relationship is there, why she's so burdened by it. That's the interesting thing. And I agree with Kofi. I feel like lop off the very past timeline and we're good. I feel like that is the major change that you could make to this book, and like it wouldn't hurt it in any way, and it would just pick up the pace, allow you to get more into the Andrea stuff. So I agree. So that's comics this week. That's a lot. We got a lot to talk about.
All right. So that'll be it for our main show. We're gonna do our quick mentions. First, I'm just going to run down real quick and mention things for our girl Megan Peters and our anime team. We got some big stuff happening. I started watching Jujutsu Kaisen, and it's on HBO Max if you want to check that out. One of the hot new animes that came out. It's pretty good. Pretty good. I'm kind of digging out, and I'm looking forward to kind of dipping into that pool as my next Demon Slayer. We also have new Dragon Ball Super and Boruto issues out of manga as I'm speaking, and they are dropping Dragon Ball Super, starting a big new arc that's going to be game-changing. So all my anime manga fans, be sure to check that out, and we'll have that for you on Comic Book Anime. Matt, what do you got for us in mentions?
Like we talked about, there's a lot of future state this week, so I'm just going to highlight a few things that I would recommend you go read, and some of them are just one story within the book. So Full Sail Nightwing is actually the first meeting between Nightwing, who is leading the Resistance, and the new Batman. So there's actually some interesting stuff there, and the next issue should be interesting as well and continues that arc. Future State Superman Worlds at War, literally the first part of that book is all you need to read. Just read the first Superman story. That's it. The other two, I was so bored. But the first one, fantastic. Such a cool message. And that is also Philip Kennedy Johnson's story in there. And it's such a cool message. And the stuff they do with Clark is really interesting. The next Batman, second story only, Batgirls, is Vita Ayala's story. And that is, again, Cassandra Cain, Stephanie Brown. I love them. I will always read stuff with them. And it's just a really cool kind of prison break ish caper thing. So definitely read that. And then just a couple of things. Black Cat number 2. I feel like Janelle will love this issue because it ties into King of Black. And it's just, again, a really fun story. They've been killing it there. 7 to Eternity number 16 is the second to last issue of this series. Rick Remender and Jerome Opeña's story. Definitely check that out. It's fantastic. And We Live number 4 was a gut punch to every emotion in my soul. And the series has been every issue, and I love it, so definitely check that out. So that's other comics.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, everyone who has tuned in live with us on Twitch and Facebook and everywhere else. Thank you to my host, Nicole, Janelle, for tuning in with us as well. We hope you guys check out WandaVision and come back, and we're going to be continuing that discussion, plus everything else going on in 2021. That'll do it for this episode of Comic Book Nation. If you're just getting into the show, we put up new episodes every Wednesday on comicbook.com. or your favorite podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. If you have a smart home device, tell it to fire up Comic Book Nation Podcast, and it'll start playing for you. If you want to become a regular listener, you can also subscribe to our Twitter feed at Comic Book Nation, or just look up the hashtag Comic Book Nation, or our YouTube page at the Comic Book Nation YouTube page. And like I said, we put up every episode on the site, and you can also watch and listen in those articles on comicbook.com. We want to thank you guys for tuning in. If you like the show, go on Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, and we'll see you next time. If you want to check me out, I'm at Kofi Outlaw.
I am Matt Aguilar CB.
I'm at Janelle Wheeler.
And I am at Life in Polaroid.
All right. We'll see you guys next Wednesday. Peace.
Bye, guys.